I'm here at Commodity Classic with Brian Young from Purdue University. Brian, you just had a presentation that you made talking about clean fields, high yields, kind of a plan for getting weed management under control. And I noticed you broke it down into three areas, accepting the reality of what you've got out in the fields, developing a plan, and implementing a plan. Kind of give us a summary of what you told the folks here that came to watch.
Well, in terms of accepting reality, really talking about acknowledging when you might have resistance, or maybe, you know, projecting that you need to stay ahead of that resistance so you don't get to the point where, okay, I failed in my fields, now what do I do? You know, trying to be proactive and trying to address the reality of weed resistance in the United States or in your state or in your county before it actually impacts your own farm. That's a challenge. And then once it does impact your farm, know how to address it soon enough as well. Like, well, I kind of failed this year, but, you know, I'm going to try and roll the dice and see if this herbicide worked next year, because it might have been environmental issues or some other factors. So accepting reality that there's an economic loss here, whether it's mare's tail, Palmer amaranth, water hemp. I have grower experiences that they've shared with me where they lost half their yield. So 30 bushel in beans, most of it's been in beans, not so much as in corn, but certainly corn weed management's gotten more difficult as well.
That's where the big word you brought in, regret, comes in.
Yes. And so every grower that I've talked to that has experienced some resistance, they do talk about the regret of not doing something earlier, relying on glyphosate too long, not making more timely applications, not making a residual herbicide application that year. And so they wish they would have done something different. I've never talked to a grower who's had resistance said, well, I wouldn't have done anything different. I'm perfectly fine where I'm at right now, and I created this bed I'm going to sleep in, and I'm okay with it. Never met that grower yet.
Okay, after you've accepted the reality, as you said, time to develop a plan and put it into action.
Right. So developing that plan gets to be a little bit complicated, but where we start with today is understanding our herbicide sites of action. And so we have a lot of good tools today, you know, some handouts, brochures, educational items to improve our knowledge of the different herbicide trade names, the active ingredients that are in there, and then the sites of action that they belong to, and then also understanding our weeds. What sites of action are those weeds resistant to? And then just trying to pair up what makes the most logical sense to get effective control of the resistant weeds with the herbicide tools we have available and develop a plan from that. And that typically includes residual herbicides, tank mix partners, you know, ultimately using multiple modes of action and even non-chemical means to improve weed control, like cultural practices, row spacing, seeding rate, maybe even cover crops or tillage.
And that was some of the questions you had. You know, some folks asked about, well, what about this situation or what about that? You still have to know that full picture to make sure you develop that plan correctly.
Oh, exactly. And so one question we had in terms of applying post-emergence herbicides was, well, I'm applying a herbicide post-emergence in soybeans, so what nozzle should I be using? And what are you spraying exactly? Well, it's glyphosate. Well, is it just glyphosate, or is it glyphosate plus Cobra or Flexstar? And then they said, well, yeah, it's with Flexstar. So, well, now we have to have a different application system than just glyphosate by itself. So you do have to know what you're utilizing to solve the problem and try to optimize it as much as possible. So it's not just my sprayer set up for the entire post-emergence application season. You might have to vary it up, you know, different nozzle selection, different carrier volumes to make sure you're making optimal applications to control some of these weeds.
Once you've put this plan together so you don't have to live with the regret later on, you got to put it into action.
Right. And putting it into action means you can be adaptive. We have plan A, plan B, plan C. And so our best intentions go awry because Mother Nature was going to put too much rainfall on a residual herbicide. Doesn't last long enough, or you don't get any rain at all and the residual herbicide's not activated. Or you have post-emergence application, the weeds got a little bit bigger than what you had intended. So do you change the rate of the herbicide, or do you switch to another herbicide altogether? So we just have to know what our plan A, plan B, plan C is. And even if you're going to a crop consultant or an agronomist or your retailer, you know, understand, you know, well, here's our main plan of attack, but what happens if that doesn't work? What else are we going to try to do? And am I going to be in the doghouse? Am I at the point of no recovery? Or can we salvage and still make a successful year?
You mentioned, too, how, you know, some producers, they look at maybe putting $60 an acre into their weed management plan as opposed to maybe the $30 an acre they were doing before, but the $30 didn't do them any good. It really gets to be where you got to do a cost-benefit analysis, isn't it? You know, you got to figure out how much am I going to lose if I don't spend the extra money now.
Right. And that's where it's difficult, because when you talk about an individual field that a grower manages, that return on investment might be different from another field that they have. So the best thing we can do is go from anecdotal evidence where, you know, we've talked to growers, and here's their experience. So the one that I gave is a grower who they lost 30 bushels to the acre because of weeds that they couldn't control. And how could they improve weed management? Well, I had some research right next to them, and we spent $60 an acre in some treatments, and we had good success. So the return on investment there was you could have afforded $30 more weed control for 10 years to avoid that problem and not have the seed production that you had from those weeds, you know, the year that he failed last year. And so that field, you know, you can do the math pretty easily. It's the fields where we have, you know, challenges where Roundup might not be addressing it completely. Maybe you have one other tool, one other herbicide that's addressing it fairly well that you combine with glyphosate. But what are you doing to protect that herbicide from resistance? And so it gets to be difficult. And so it is a social decision as well as an economic decision. And that's when it becomes really difficult to manage and predict.
And one last point, you talked about, you know, especially when you're rotating crops between corn and soybeans, of doing some of that weed management control. Maybe they don't affect the corn crop as much, but you know next year you're going to have soybeans in there, so you still have to do something that's going to set it up for the soybeans the following year.
Yeah, so when you talk about diversifying your herbicides, it's not just in a single crop. It's in your whole crop rotation. So if you're using, you know, certain herbicide sites of action in your corn, you know, try to make sure that you're not over-relying on those in your soybeans as well, because we know that if we rely on too much of the same chemistry over and over, we will fail. Kind of like we did with glyphosate. We relied on that way too much in both corn and soybeans. So we have to really be more knowledgeable about what we are putting in the tank for our corn weed management or soybean weed management, and thinking not just this year in corn, but what am I doing next year in soybeans or vice versa? And that's where it gets to be a little bit more challenging, but I think it's well worth putting pen to paper and trying to sort that one out.
Brian, some great information. Anything else you'd like our audience to understand about, you know, what you tried to tell the folks here at Commodity Classic?
Well, I think it's just great that there is enough interest from the grower level to continue battling some of these weeds. We've had our challenges. It's not over yet. The weeds aren't going away anytime soon. We have some new technologies coming out in terms of herbicide-resistant crops, but them by themselves aren't going to solve it. So regardless of whatever technology comes out, we still need to have diversified, integrated approaches to be successful.
Brian Young with Purdue University talking today at the BASF session, Clean Fields, High Yields. Brian, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you so much.
I'm John Davis reporting from Commodity Classic.